episode, we share a few ideas for how to find moments of fun and joy in the very serious work of our nonprofits.
Hello, and welcome to the Nonprofit Radio Show, a podcast with tips and tools for small nonprofits. If you feel in the dark about how to run a nonprofit, sunshine is on its way. I'm Nancy Bacon, and I'm joined by Sarah Brooks.
Nancy, I've been feeling worried about something.
Oh, no. What's that, Sarah?
Well, I'm just hearing a lot and reading a lot about nonprofit leadership and burnout. And it makes me sad to think about people who are truly passionate about their mission and movement, finding out that the work makes them exhausted.
Yeah, it's been a rough few years. And I think that the cumulative effect has people really tired, and wonderful people who I think expected to be in this for the long haul, they're starting to think maybe this isn't the work for me.
Totally. And I absolutely respect that and acknowledge that sometimes people need to make a change in order to feel good again and to rejuvenate their passion. And I also am acutely aware that burnout is absolutely a really complex kind of result. It's the result of a lot of things kind of coming together, and it requires a lot of solutions to try to fend off or recover from things like making sure people are fairly compensated, that they're recognized for the impact and the work they do, that they're given job descriptions that are reasonable. You know, so many important ingredients go into helping kind of protect an organization from burnout. All of those things absolutely matter. And yet I keep finding myself also having this tiny little voice in my head that says, and so does helping people find or reconnect with the joy or the fun in the work.
I love that. I love the word joy. It's kind of my word of 2024. And this notion of fun, when I hear you say fun, I'm not thinking fun like trivial, laughing, giggling, you know, candy in a rom-com movie on a Saturday afternoon. I'm thinking more like meaningful connection that to our interests, right? So that something that challenges us in a way that fulfills us in a full heart kind of way.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I think it is often a struggle in a nonprofit, especially nonprofits with very serious missions, to acknowledge the need for joy or fun when what we're grappling with is so hard. But we're humans working in that space, and I think we need to find hope to keep us going. And I personally at least find hope when I feel a little bit of joy, or when I pause to enjoy the people I get to interact with or work with.
I totally agree. We work with such awesome people. And if so, for example, I start every Monday connecting with a couple people on my team. And it does bring me joy because I see their faces, I hear their voices, and I'm reminded that we're connected to each other.
Right.
What are some ways that you find joy, or you're thinking about finding joy?
Yeah. Well, I think of it in kind of two different types. There's the how to find joy or fun, your definition of fun. Personally. And I have tried a whole bunch of different things. I'll just throw some out there, and you know, they may or may not resonate for people, but writing a periodic letter to yourself is an exercise I have always found sort of fascinating. And sometimes I don't literally write the letter. I compose it in my head on a dog walk, especially when something meaningful has just happened, whether it's a good meaningful or a hard meaningful something. It's great to just kind of write to yourself and to acknowledge to yourself, what did you learn and how does it help you move forward? And I think it's really important to do this on the moments when something good happened, and maybe you even made something good happen. Most nonprofit workers that I know of are really terrible about taking a moment to pause and appreciate themselves. They tend to be really good at appreciating others, but they're really bad at appreciating themselves. And I think in our own collective memory as nonprofit workers, we remember the negative things way more than we remember the positives. So having a few letters on your desk that maybe you wrote to yourself on a day when something went right, they're good to read again and kind of keep that perspective that our memories sometimes, you know, only show us part of what was going on.
I love that because it really has us showing empathy to ourselves.
Absolutely. I think that's really important in this work. And along the same lines, you know, I have on my wall at my office this bulletin board, and it's just full of random photos of moments that were really good, or moments that brought me a lot of joy or happiness within the mission of the organization. And I like being surrounded by those photos. There's something about walking into my space and feeling that just not able to put into words, but just kind of envelop that sense of hope that I need going forward. So some of us are writers, some of us might be more image driven, bringing into your space those things that you remember making you feel joyful. And the same, I know of others who carry some sort of object with them, something from their organization, maybe have the great fortune of working with kids and someone gave you something small that you can keep in your pocket or have in your bag. And, you know, when you see it, it kind of brings forth that memory of that really good moment. I just think having some tangible things around us to remind us of those things is really important.
Somewhere on my desk, I have an orange ring with squiggly eyeballs that when you shake it, it rattles. Uh-huh. And Jan Jorgensen gave it to me in a meeting in Yakima. And I can't remember exactly the circumstance of the meeting.
Yeah.
But it was one of these, like, we just had an important meeting. We made a decision that we were going to do something. And she handed out these little squiggly rings, like for a children's party.
Right.
And we were all kind of shaking it and rattling it and having fun with it. And I couldn't get rid of it because it just reminds me of that really special meeting where we were all together and we had made this big decision. That's a great idea. Along with another thought I have is, you know, finding a song that's really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you're at a place of thinking about a success or a challenge, you play that song and it reminds you of what's going on. My husband always plays Chariots of Fire to the point where my 21-year-old daughter is like, oh my God, Chariots of Fire. No, 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 no.
You know. Right. No, it's great. And again, you know, these things don't solve burnout, but I think they are one component to just keeping you connected to what matters. The second kind of category I think about are ways to help your organization find joy or fun. You're a part of that, but one step removed from you. Again, I have just some silly suggestions, but somehow they seem to create that culture of it being worth it to stop and pause and feel good in the joy of, you know, when we have a success. So in my office, when something exciting happens that maybe someone's been working toward for a while, like their project has finally crossed the finish line, or they have in a momentous moment where they heard they got a grant or, you know, something like that, we have a very particular bell that we keep in a very specific spot. And, you know, someone's like, oh, we got to ring the bell for that one. And then we run and get the bell and we all gather around and the person gets to, you know, ring the bell. And I know that sounds silly, but it also creates a moment where we gather and we acknowledge everything from our bookkeeper helping us get through the audit, you know, to, you know, really big programmatic gains. And I think it's a really great way to show everybody that there's a moment of that deep, fun satisfaction in all of our work.
I love that idea.
And then I think it's also possible to recognize people in fun and respectful ways. You know, I worked with someone, a boss years ago, who would always write a short haiku poem for someone when they did something awesome. And it didn't have to be a big awesome. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you know, you just, you know, won the Vicka Grant Award of the Year, but just something, you know, hey, I saw you help someone yesterday. And he would write a really wonderful haiku for them. And what I loved about it was short. He wasn't like a national poet laureate, but it was clear he didn't just get it from the internet. You know, it was about the person and what had just happened. And it always felt really great to have one about you on your desk. And that's just a nice way to kind of keep it lighthearted too. Did it have a fun play with the meter of a haiku, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. It's a nice way to show a little personality as well.
Totally. And then I also think of examples where you actually take a bigger break out of your time. Maybe you were planning to do a staff retreat or something like that, and you think about how do you work into that doing something that is meaningful and fun. So my big example in this is one year for our staff holiday party, for lack of a better term, we decided it would be really great to get together and bake cookies. So we had some folks making cookies, some folks making cards to go with them, you know, different stations, and we could all talk kind of casually and get to know each other in that process. And then we delivered those to other nonprofits in our area to appreciate what they do for the community and how that relates to our work. So, you know, the cards were like, you know, thank you for what you do for youth. You know, you're going to help our community be even better in the future and that kind of thing. And it was, and then we got into teams and went around and delivered them. And it was this wonderful surprise thing. And it just created a lot of joy and a lot of moments of reflection in the casual conversation about how what we do is so integrated to what so many other organizations do. And it was almost the best way to talk about partnership rather than like a serious meeting about it. It just kind of came to the surface and people were like, oh, we should do something, you know, with that organization. I bet we could partner on this. And so sometimes those lighthearted things end up generating really great ideas going forward.
What a nice idea, that whole generosity, kind of creating that sense of renewal and connection. And I love that. Such a great idea. I mean, when I think about, I love this idea of just being together. I think of the staff meetings where we just had kind of the 30-minute empty agenda start where we just, hey, what's going on? And
yeah,
you know, talk about the weekend or the next trip or the kids or whatever it is that people wanted to talk about. Kind of playing a game is a just kind of dropping everything and playing a game of Monopoly or doing a puzzle or, you know, one of those, what is it, sip and draw. And it doesn't even have to be an alcoholic beverage. It could be a hot chocolate where you're drawing, you know, using art to reconnect with each other. I think anytime, and it feels like a waste of time. It feels like I'm so busy, I should be working. And yet by pausing and reconnecting and tapping into your artistic side and relaxing, it just sharpens our edge to re-engage later on so much more powerfully.
Yeah, you know, there's all the kind of talk right now about taking time to have unstructured time. And that is also really important that this doesn't replace it. But I often find that many of these things kind of fall into the semi-structured time. Like there is a stated goal. We're going to make cookies together and, you know, deliver them. That's semi-structured. But a lot of what happens is very unstructured. And that is where the kind of secret sauce lies. But equally so in the idea that it's a meaningful task we're taking on, right? That we want to acknowledge and honor the other organizations. And that I think created a little bit more buy-in in the staff to participate in it wholeheartedly, because it didn't feel like we were just doing it for ourselves. It, you know, felt like, yeah, this is a way we serve others.
So what's our word of the week?
Well, it has to be joy.
True.
And I guess, I don't know, I think of joy a little differently than happiness. They're certainly related and they're in the same family, but I think of joy as that kind of, as you were describing, fun, that deeper kind of feeling that it feels a little bit more like delight to me. And I usually feel joy after I've experienced something very meaningful, usually something that I had to work toward. It didn't just happen. And there's a lot of research out there to say that feeling joy actually results in physiological and biological conditions in your body and in your mind, in your brain itself, that make you actually more aware and more ready to take on challenges. And gosh, when I think about what we need in our nonprofit world, it's that feeling of being more ready and more willing to take on challenges.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when I think about joy, I think of like a star that flashes in the night. It's a joy is a burst of heart energy that is a positive experience for us. Happiness is bigger, right? It's like the whole constellation. And like, are you happy is a bigger question than was that joyful? And I think joy together, many episodes of joy will lift us up and help us with burnout and help us to be happy in our work, help us to be connected with others. And so that's where if we aspire for joy, I think a whole lot more will happen for us.
Right. And I think what I'm hoping we convey today is that sometimes joy just lands in your lap because things come together. But in other times, you have to create the structure in order to give space to feel the joy. And I think that's so important for nonprofit leaders to think about, because working day in and day out for a nonprofit mission is both rewarding and exhausting. And we're often dealing with these heavy and complex issues. And I just want to give our listeners permission to seek out moments of joy or enjoyment and even fun in the midst of our very serious work. It's part, I think, of bringing our full range of emotions to our work. And when we do that, we find we can help fuel our work going forward. I know joy and fun won't protect you from burnout alone, but they are a key ingredient to keeping you ready for your mission. You've got this.
Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Radio Show today. Tell your friends about the Nonprofit Radio Show and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Visit nonprofitradioshow.com for tips, tools, and free resources for nonprofits. The show is produced by Nancy Bacon and Sarah Brooks in partnership with the Nonprofit Learning Center, delivering learning and innovation to help nonprofits thrive. Our production team is Steve Fonslet and Mep Schulte of Three Choices Creative Communications. We always love to hear from our listeners. We're inspired by you and other nonprofit leaders doing important work in our communities.